Take your Bible and turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. There are a couple of passages there that I'd like for us to read together. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning actually with verse 8 and going on through verse 16. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 8 and going on through verse 16. It's good to see everyone here this morning. I hope that all is well with you and that God accepts our worship. That's what this is all about. We come together collectively. What we've been doing all week long is individual worship as we've prayed to God and studied His Word and doing His will. And now we get to come together with people of like precious faith. That's why the Lord's Day is so special to me. I get to do what I have done the rest of the week by myself, and with you being here, it makes it even more enjoyable. It was noted Wednesday night that Mike and Vicki Bartsch are going to be leaving us. He is moving to Paducah, I believe it is, and down there for job transfer. So we want to express our appreciation to the Bartsch family for all that they have done while being members here at Overland, for the good work that they've done in our teaching program, and Mike as well as being one of our deacons and the good work that he's done. It's always hard to say goodbye to people that you've learned to love and appreciate, especially for the work of the Lord in which they have done. So we wish both of you very well. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean, but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave himself, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's a very impressive reading as you think about it and as you look at the verses before, where he has just talked about the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. God has already decided unity. He has decided what it will take to unify the body of Christ, that body that he gave himself for. Then it talks about the reason that the Lord came down from heaven. He came down to the earth. He tabernacled here. And he gave certain gifts that he gave to people, and it tells us that he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And the reason that he gave these different ones, these different gifts, he said, for the equipping of the saints. Now that was the objective, for the equipping of the saints. That the saints might be able to do that work which God would have them to do, and that was the work of ministry, and for the edifying of itself, that is, the body of Christ itself. Now let me ask you, when you think about service, when you think about these different ones that did their jobs well in the first century, let me ask you a question. In the time in which you and I now live, how are the people in position doing? Hear what I said. How are the people in position doing? How are they doing in the equipping of the saints? Are you one of those people in position? Do you have a responsibility in the year 2011 that is just as important as those in the first century? Are you assisting in the equipping of the saints? Those of you who are young in the faith, those of you who have just become Christians in the last year, how are you doing in accomplishing your task? Those of you who have been members of the kingdom for 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40, 50, how well are you equipping the saints? How well are you doing your part? Or do we just simply sit around and live off everybody else? I'm afraid sometimes that's what we do. We allow others to do their work, and they do their work well, and yet we are not supplying what Paul wrote in the 16th verse, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The body fitly framed together. Now, what good is this hand? Well, what could the body do without this hand? What good are the fingers on this hand? What good is the rest of the hand if the fingers don't work? What about the elbow? What about the knees? I know several of you have had knee surgery. And when your knees were not functioning properly, how'd the rest of you feel? Many of us wear glasses. You look a little fuzzy when I take them off. Maybe I ought to leave them off. You look better. No, just kidding. Just kidding. But when the eyes are not functioning, then I need to do something to help them, don't they? I'm grateful that man has been able to come up with eyeglasses so that we can see each other. What about the toes? You ever had an ingrown toenail? That hurts, doesn't it? It messes with everything. Have you had anything that doesn't function properly? Someone asked me the other day, said, "How's your hand?" I said, "Well, it's still not working right." And it bugs me every day because it's not working right. And I've got two fingers that often stay cold because the circulation is not as it needs to be. So the hand doesn't function as it once did. And so when the hand is not functioning as it once did, then the whole body can't do all that it really needs to do. Buttoning up a shirt is terrible. But now, why did I say all of that? Because I want to talk to you this morning in particular about one group of people that did their work, and that I believe that they did their work well. I want to talk about the apostles of Jesus Christ. I want to talk about those men that were chosen by the Lord to do a particular work. They assisted in the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, oftentimes when we come up on the word apostle, we just simply say, well, one sent forth. And we don't spend a great deal of time talking about who these men actually were. Now, I want you to understand that the term apostle was not a unique term in that it was just something that they came up with in the first century. It is possible to be an apostle in a lot of different areas. And we can find, as one looks in particular to history, we can find one group of people in particular that are called the Quorum of Twelve in the Mormon Church. The original twelve were chosen by the three witnesses of the writing of the Book of Mormon. And when one died, then they put another one in and put another one in. And there are Mormon elders even today that are in Salt Lake City that are of the Quorum of the Twelve. They come and go. And they are noted as the Quorum of the Twelve. There are other elders in different capacities, but there is that larger group called the Quorum of Twelve. I one time had a man come to my home. And we spoke for quite some time in Oglethorpe, Georgia. And he called himself an apostle. And he called himself an apostle of the church in which he was associated with. So we're going to run up on terms like that where people have taken the term apostle, and it is defined as one who is sent forth, one who is a messenger, and the way in which they're using it in reference to their particular church, that's who they are. Have they assumed a title that they should not have assumed? Well, according to their doctrines, they are apostles. They have been sent forth by their group. Now, I deny that they are the church of the Lord. I deny that they are like the apostles of the first century. But they have chosen a name that was not necessarily unique. It just simply meant one who was a messenger and one who is a follower of a particular group, but yet in particular with certain marching orders. You know, whenever you look at the term apostle, it was a name that was even also given to Jesus over in Hebrews chapter 3, and I'd like to read that with you. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and there's no doubt that he is definitely one who was sent forth. He was sent forth with a decree from God the Father to go into all the world. And he gets down, come into the world, and he does because of the love that they have for mankind. Again, Hebrews 3, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. We very seldom say much about Jesus being an apostle. And an apostle of God, one that was sent forth, one who came down to this earth to do a particular job. Now let me ask you, as the one that was sent forth by God, did the Lord fulfill his commission? Did the Lord do what God wanted him to do? And I'm here to tell you that he did. He is an apostle. He is our high priest. It is also a name, though, that is given, the term apostle, is given to simple men. Men who were of a common background. 12 men to start with. These men, most of them, were fishermen. Among their number was a tax collector. But at the same time, they were not considered overly educated men. In fact, they were acknowledged as individuals that had not been brought up in the greater schools of learning, that they're just simple fishermen. But yet they were chosen by Jesus Christ. So I want us to look at these apostles, and I want us to see that they were chosen by Christ first of all. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, I want us to see as they were called. But now I want you to see something else, and that is that before they were called apostles, they were first called disciples. Before anyone can become anything else in the body of Christ, they must first be a disciple. Every one of us that is seated in this building, that have obeyed the gospel of Christ, we are noted as disciples. Now, what in the world is a disciple? How many of you accept that terminology? Well, disciple is simply one that is a trailer. He is one that follows, but it's more involved than that. A disciple is a student. A disciple is a learner. Whether you want to admit it or not, you folks who are taking math this year under one of our beloved brethren, now, you're going to be noted from this point on that you took math of our brother. And the way in which he has taught you math is going to stick with you, and you're going to oftentimes say, oh, I remember when I was in math class. And this is how we study math, as one fellow wrote recently. And so what
we're all students of somebody or someone. It used to be said that you could pick out a preacher where he went to school, whether he went to Lipscomb, whether he went to Harding, whether he went to Abilene, or whether he went to Florida College. And what that meant is that those guys who studied under those particular professors, that they normally came out believing what that professor taught, and in many ways sounding like that particular professor. So, you math students may come out sound like Brian, which is all right. But now, if we are a disciple, it means that we are following Christ. We are the disciples of Christ. We are following Him. We are His students. We are His learners. Now, in Luke chapter 6, and there verse 12, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." One of the things I could say quickly is that before the Lord ever did anything of any consequence, he always went to God in prayer. That's one of the things you learned about the Master. Before he chose the 12, he went to talk to God in prayer. Before you do anything, before I do anything, then we need to talk to him about God, or talk over that particular thing with God. "And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them," from who? From the disciples, "he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he also called Peter, Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor." So the disciples, there were a number of them. But out of that number of disciples, he chooses 12 men. He chose them for a particular work. And later, as one reads in Acts 1, when the lot fell upon Matthias, I believe that the Lord chose him also. That they were chosen by Jesus Christ. Later on, as we think about the Apostle Paul, though he was not of the 12, he was an apostle. And do we find that Barnabas was also called an apostle in other places, as he was sent forth by the church at Antioch to go and preach the gospel on those different journeys with the Apostle Paul. So we find that Jesus Christ chose the apostles. Now get back to the why were they chosen as apostles? It was for the purpose of seeing that the church was going to be as it was supposed to be. Gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some evangelists. The purpose of what? Establishing the kingdom, strengthening the kingdom. Now it is interesting that the apostles had certain qualifications. And in Acts chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there, it sort of tells us what and how come Matthias got chosen. In Matthew 1, and there verse 21 and 22, "Therefore of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." They had to not only had been a disciple, this one that's going to take Judas's place, but he also had to have been with them as a disciple from the very beginning, even to the resurrection. Why? Well, you want to know why? You ready for it? God said so. Simple. It's not hard to understand. God said so. So if you're going to be an apostle, as used of these 12, and think you're on par with them, now you've got a long way to look back, and I haven't witnessed anybody like that recently that would be 2,000 years of age. They had to be with the Lord from the beginning, and they had to witness His resurrection. And He blessed them with authority. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Jesus had sent his disciples out, and now they're back at the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he wanted to know what kind of results or what they found out when they were out there and what the people thought. And in verse 14 it says, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and that's again Matthew 16. Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? He's speaking here to the apostles. And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Verse 19 in particular. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. There's authority. And Jesus is saying to Peter, and I think the rest of them, whatever you bind on earth, and the original is phrased this way, you bind on earth because it's already been bound in heaven. You loose on earth because it has already been loosed in heaven. So they have authority that comes from the head. The apostles of the first century were men with authority. As Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 18, he said that all power and authority had been given unto him, and then he gave these men their marching order to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. These men were important. These men were special. These men had a duty to perform. They also had all the truth. They had all the truth, and Jesus promised them that they would have all the truth, that they weren't going to have to worry about what to say. Listen, if you would, from John 14, and there verse 26, as it reads, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said. Chapter 15 of John, and there verse 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeded from the Father, he will testify of me. And in John 16 and verse 13, it says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. These men possess certain qualifications. They were eyewitnesses. They had authority. And they had all the truth. So whenever we talk about an apostle of the first century, we don't need to be flippant about it, and we just don't need to say, well, he was just an apostle. It's more involved than that. This man was chosen. This man was chosen for the perfecting of the saints. That was the reason that he was here upon this earth in service as an apostle, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and the building up of the body of Christ. They had a job to do. They had a function in which they were to perform. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and there verse 20, as Paul speaks of the apostles, he said, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. As he was speaking to the brethren at Corinth, he talks about these apostles, that they were ambassadors of Christ. You and I are not an ambassador. They were. The message was in earthen vessels. And when you think about one that is an ambassador, he is an envoy who speaks on behalf of another. Who speaks on behalf of, in our case, as we think about it from the text, who speaks on behalf of their sovereign ruler. That is God. God has said it.
They have accepted it, and they pass it on. This is why when we see the term apostle, we ought to think about more than just, well, he was just one sent forth. They were individuals who were commissioned by Christ. You know, we have ambassadors as far as this nation. We have ambassadors all over this world. And every once in a while we'll hear about one. Our ambassadors are nominated by the president, and they are then confirmed by the Senate. You have an ambassador, and then you have a junior ambassador. I mean, we got them coming out our ears as you get underneath the ambassador himself. But when they speak, they're not supposed to be speaking about my likes and my dislikes. They speak that which is authorized by the President of the United States. The apostles were ambassadors, and they spoke by inspiration. They spoke because they were commissioned by Christ. They were commissioned to preach the gospel. They were commissioned to confirm that gospel with signs and wonders and miracles, as Mark 16, 17 through 20 points out, and as the Hebrew writer records it in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. They were commissioned as part of the very foundation. They built the foundation. They laid the foundation, Ephesians 2, 20 and 21. They were, as Luke 22, 29 through 30 points out, they were commissioned to reign with Christ in His kingdom. These were commissioned officers, we could say, to a degree. But they spoke only as they had been directed to speak. So whenever we talk about an apostle, we're talking about one who has been commissioned to speak by the power of the Spirit so that we might know what God wants us to know. So whenever you say the apostle Paul, the apostle Peter, or James, or Thaddeus, or whichever of the 12 you might bring up, and even Matthias, they are the mouthpieces of God. And when we read this, we know what God wants us to know. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, looking at verse 12 beginning, Paul had to deal with false apostles. He said, again, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in these things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Paul said in reference to the Corinthians, there are those who are walking among you who want to be known as what we are, that is, apostles. They want that distinction. And I'm here to tell you that they are false teachers. And then it is interesting that he identifies them with Satan himself, and he says that they are servants of Satan rather than ambassadors of God, rather than proclaimers of the authentic message. False apostles. It is also interesting as you think about the apostles that they established the doctrinal foundation upon which we follow today. We do what we do because it is that which they taught. I want to read for you from Acts chapter 2 and there verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and prayer. They did what?
It tells us that the early church continued in the apostles' doctrine. Now, where did they get their doctrine? They are the ambassadors, and they speak by direction of Christ Himself. And so everything that we do today must be according to what they taught. It is the Lord's doctrine in reality. It is what He told them to teach. Because you remember in Matthew 28 and verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded who? You, the apostles. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth.
So vital is this truth that they taught. Their very foundation of the kingdom itself. That Paul, when he wrote in the Galatian letter, listen to what he said in Galatians 1 and there verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches another gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Paul said, what we have taught you, what we have taught you is from God. It is the message that comes from deity. And if anybody else tries to teach you something different, let him be accursed. The truth that has been taught by these apostles must be followed. or we have not God. Listen to what 2 John 9 says. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If we don't follow that which the ambassadors have been told, we don't have God and we don't have Christ.
So I hope by this lesson this morning, when you see the term apostle, that you see a little bit more about these men than what is always obvious. That the reason that they came down to do the will of God, number one, was for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the building up of the body of Christ. And they did their job well in that century. You and I now are determining the course of this local church. By the preacher that you let preach, whoever it might be, me or someone else, the elders that you let serve and the deacons that you let serve, the Bible class teachers that you select, in all these areas, all of these individuals must stick to the doctrine of Christ, and also called the apostles' doctrine, because again, as ambassadors, they spoke the will of God. So just don't, the next time you see the term apostle, just sort of flippantly just go over it. Realize what was really involved in being one of these men. And so strong were they in their conviction that every one of them died a terrible death. We read about James being killed this morning by the Roman rulers. We read of others who are put to death. The only one that we don't believe that was put to death in a violent way was the writer of Revelation, that being John. They did their work. And we, like a body of people, we do our work. I don't
want to overstate it, but I want to say this in reference to the church at Overland. I believe your faith is noted in many, many places. And it is there because of your stand for the truth and wanting to do what is right. You want to hear the truth, you believe the truth, and you want to pass it on to others. And I pray that future generations, are you listening to me? Please listen. I pray that future generations, if the Lord tarries, that they have the same opportunities always here. But it could change. It'll change if you choose the wrong teachers, the wrong preachers, the wrong elders, the wrong deacons. We are the next generation sitting in this building. Let's make sure that future generations have what we have had. There are those here this morning that are not Christians. You're not Christian because you're in sin. You haven't listened to Christ. You haven't followed His ambassadors. You're just doing what you're doing because you want to do it that way. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about heaven. We're talking about the forgiveness of our sins. We're talking about future generations. My prayer to God for you this morning is that this is the day that you'll want to simply be a follower of the Christ. That you will repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ. Be buried with Him and have your sins washed away. As a child of God, if you've lost sight of who you are, you failed to complete the journey which you once started. That this is the morning that you'll want to repent and get back on the road that leads home. Beloved, let's go home. Let's get there. Think of that one together. We stand in that place.